and the vision the Naru had given him felt true. Of course, that meant nothing if the creature was playing games with his mind, but if it was powerful enough to do that, one could go mad thinking about such things. As he adjusted to being corporeal once more, he heard the banging on the door, audible even through the spells of warding and protection he had set. He spoke the words that unlocked the sanctum, and the door slid open to reveal his advisers standing there. "Lord Illidan," said High Nethermancer Zerevor, "you must come with us to see what is happening for yourself. The Black Temple is under attack." There was an urgency in his voice that kept Illidan from dismissing him out of hand. Illidan rose from his posture of meditation and moved to accompany them. It was only then that it occurred to him that one of his advisers was missing. Where was Akama? Chapter 28. One Day Before the Fall. Maiev looked up to see Akama standing in the doorway of her cage once more. "Have you come to dangle vain promises before me again?" she asked. It was difficult to keep the bitterness from her voice. Akama limped closer, tilted his head to one side, and gazed up into her face. Such was his intensity that she grew uncomfortable, although she refused to show it. "No," he said. His tone revealed both his weariness and his fear. "How are you feeling? Strong? Let me out of this cage and I will show you." Maiev had spent the previous months conserving her strength. She was sure she had never been mightier, but still the spells binding her held.
"Do you remember how to hold a blade?" Akama asked.
Maiev was about to pour scorn on his head, but something in his manner stopped her. "That is not something I could ever forget."
"I hope so," said Akama.
"Why are you here?"
"The Horde and the Alliance besiege the Temple of Kerabor. They have made common cause with the Aldor and the Scryers. Even some of the Naru are present."
There was a sense of finality. "Has the betrayer sent you to kill me? Does he lack the courage to do it himself?" Akama raised a stubby finger to his lips. The Ashtung leader considered his words and just for a moment allowed himself the tiniest of smiles.
"You are not that important to him. Even as his empire descends into fire and ruin, he appears more concerned with other things. Fortunately for you and for me."
Maiev allowed herself to hope. She kept her features absolutely calm and cold. She did not want to give her enemies the satisfaction of seeing that they had gotten to her. "You think he will be brought down, then?"
"Who knows? Even now he is the mightiest being in Outland, surrounded by lieutenants of near equal power. The temple is a fortress unparalleled in this world. He might hold out there for years. His enemies might fall out among themselves. I have known him for too long to think his downfall will be easy."
"And yet you think he might be overthrown?"
"A small force of sufficient power could infiltrate the temple if they were given the appropriate aid."
"And of course you are in a position to give such aid. Forgive me if I have some trouble believing you. I seem to have heard a story like this before. Last time, this tale did not turn out so well for me, or those with me. Or your people either, if my memory serves me correctly." Akama had the grace to look ashamed, but he still met her gaze.
"This time, one way or another, there will be a different ending."
"I do not believe you."
"I can convince you."
"How?" Maiev put all the scorn she could muster into her voice, but she could not help but feel hope rising in her breast.
"Stand back," Akama said.
He waited for her to do so and then invoked a powerful stream of magic. The locking spells fell away. Unable to quite believe what she was seeing, Maiev pushed the door of her cell. It swung open. She was tempted to spring on Akama and wring his treacherous neck, but she was unarmed and he was still powerful. She did not doubt that he had bodyguards within call. "If you are playing with me, Ancient One, I will kill you." The words escaped her lips before she could stop them.
"You might find that difficult to do without weapons and armor," Akama said.
"I trust you are going to rectify that immediately."
"You trust correctly. This time."
Maiev pulled on her gauntlets, then raised her helm and placed it on her head as if it were a crown. A complex weave of protective magic sprang into being around her. She breathed a sigh of relief. She had power now, and she was not going to let herself be imprisoned again. This time, if it was a trap, she would force them to kill her. Akama stood nearby in the guardroom, holding her Umbra crescent. Maiev had noticed the demon corpses on the way. All that remained of her jailers were Ashtung. The demons were dead. That was a pity. She would have liked to kill the abominations herself. She held out her hand in an imperious gesture, demanding her weapon. Akama looked down at it, as if guessing what the first thing she would do when she got it in her hands would be. "Are you frightened I am going to kill you?"
"I am frightened you are going to try."
"And why should I not?"
"Because you are not stupid. Let us not play games with each other, Maiev Shadow Song. You are free because I have set you free. You can indulge a childish thirst for revenge, or you can help me overthrow our true enemy."
"I can do both."
"No, you cannot. I alone can get you into the Temple of Kerabor. I alone can guide you to the Betrayer. Decide now whom you wish to kill, me or him. That is your choice."
"Why should I believe you this time?"
"Because I am risking more than my life to free you. I am risking my soul and my people. I have kept you alive for a purpose, Maiev Shadow Song. I have hoarded your life as if it were my greatest treasure. Follow me this day and you will face Illidan and perhaps conquer him. Kill me and you can walk free, but you may never get another chance to slay the betrayer. Which is it going to be?"
Without saying another word, Akama thrust the blade into her hand. He stood watchful and ready. Maiev felt the weight of the weapon. She turned it over and over. If any spells booby-trapped it, she could not see them. She was tempted for a moment to stab Akama in his treacherous heart, but she restrained herself.
"You may have your life. I will have justice from Illidan."
"No," said Akama. "You will have vengeance on him. I think that will give you more satisfaction."
Illidan looked out from the battlements. A seething ocean of armored flesh broke against the walls of the Black Temple. Spells surged toward the defensive wards. Thousands of soldiers pressed forward to do battle with his demons. He sensed the presence of more than just mortals down there. He discerned the pulsing of Naru. So much for the promises the elder Naru had made back on Argus. It looked as if only one of them had faith in his destiny. The beings down there were certainly against him. Illidan shrugged his shoulders. His wings rose, emphasizing the gesture. "It matters not." His counselors looked shocked. One or two of them smiled and tried to put a brave face on things, as if they believed that he had a plan that could save them.
"We trust in your judgment, Lord," said Gathios, the Shatterer. "Trust in the walls of the Black Temple," Illidan replied, "and in your own spells and blades. Go below and prepare for battle. I do not think our new guests will be leaving any time soon, and we should ready a proper reception for them." Illidan considered ordering that Maiev be executed before she could be rescued. It would be a small morsel of vengeance, perhaps the only one he would get. Who would do it? Akama, perhaps. Where was the broken? Illidan invoked the spell he had used upon the leader of the Ashtung. It was still in place. The shade was bound and could be unleashed if it should prove necessary. There was a certain satisfaction to be had in knowing it was so. No, he would not kill Maiev yet, not while there was still a chance she could be made to suffer. A group of Draenei paladins in the tabard of the Alliance charged down the road toward the gates of the Black Temple. Of course, those sanctimonious oafs would be leading the charge. They believed in opposing evil wherever they found it, and he fit into their simple-minded view of what evil was. To them, he even looked the part. A mass of his demonic guardians raced to meet them. Magical hammers clashed against fell weapons. It was difficult to see who had won amid the swirling melee. Then the Alliance soldiers were thrown back. A company of brutish-looking horde trolls moved to reinforce the paladins. Among them flitted shadowy figures who struck with astonishing power and deadliness when the demons' backs were turned. Illidan could see the shimmer of spells concealing them. Apparently, his demonic allies could not. It looked as if the attackers would prevail, but then a shower of meteors crashed into the ground around the combat and broke asunder, revealing themselves to be infernals. One of the warlocks within the temple had taken a hand. Illidan took stock of the situation. The temple was well supplied, and the sorcerers within it could summon demonic aid almost indefinitely. But there were magi out there among the attackers, and others who could counter his warlocks. Plumes of dust in the distance announced the arrival of reinforcements for the attackers. They had the advantage of numbers, and that was only likely to keep growing. The Alliance and the Horde had the resources of a world to draw on, and armies that had been honed in endless battles. Their presence beyond his walls showed exactly how strong they had grown. He studied his own defences. In the training grounds, the Dragonmoor clan orcs had gathered. Overhead, their dragons flew in formation. Their armies mustered in companies around the siege engines. At the entrance to the Sanctuary of Shadows, Supremus stood. The abyssal loomed over even the gigantic Illidari fear-bringers who stalked through the courtyard, wings flapping, weapons held at the ready. Any attacker who got beyond Supremus would have to enter the Sanctuary of Shadows and face more bound demons and sorcerers. And beyond them, layer after layer of defences waited. Illidan returned to contemplating the assaulting army. A huge disturbance loomed around the gates. Enormous battering rams rolled forward, propelled by sorcery. Wave after wave of Aldor and Scryer troops did battle with his demonic defenders. It did not matter how strong his defences were. Enough force was being brought to bear that the temple would eventually fall. Deceiver, they called Kil'jaeden. It seemed he had deceived them all once again. He had not committed his own forces here because he knew he did not have to. His enemies could only be weakened by fighting each other. When this battle was over, the Legion would intervene and destroy them. By defending the temple strongly, Illidan was only doing Kil'jaeden's work for him. But what else could he do? Surrender would serve no purpose. His enemies were sworn to slay him. He just needed to hold on until the portal was complete, and then. Illidan had made a mistake, concentrating all his attention on the Burning Legion and the quest for Argus. His wings curled tightly around his form for a moment until he forced them to relax. This was a sideshow. The Black Temple was the greatest fortress in Outland. He had time to complete the creation of the gateway to Argus. He needed to make a start now. Illidan returned to his casting chamber. His head ached. His body felt weak. Doubts assailed him from every side. Did he really have enough time to complete the gate? What if the forces besieging his citadel found a weak spot in the defences? What if he had miscalculated even that? There was still the way in through the sewers. He should reinforce High Warlord Nagentus with more Naga and Elementals. He studied the half-complete pattern. It would have been his masterpiece. He picked up the skull of Gul'dan and turned it over and over in his hands. Is this how you felt at the end, old orc? Defeated before you could even start? He walked to the edge of the pattern, studied symbols inscribed in his own blood, read the messages of power there that were almost ready to spring to life and open a passage across the entire face of the universe. He had thought he had factored everything into his plan. He had thought he had time. He turned the skull so that he looked into its empty eye sockets. Its death's head grin mocked him. He remembered the vision the Naru had given him. Was that a mockery too? He tightened his grip on the skull, almost ready to crush it into tiny pieces. This was not over. He would rally the defences of the Black Temple. If need be, he could provide an anchor for the gateway himself. He could hold a way open by pure force of will, if he had to. He was not going to fail now at this final hurdle. He would strike at the heart of the Burning Legion, no matter what it cost. Chapter 29. The Day of the Fall. Maiev inspected the immense walls of the Black Temple. The fortress loomed over them, radiating terrible strength. Huge stone spikes emerged from the walls like blades thrusting at the sky. Akama looked upon the structure as one dying of thirst in the desert might gaze upon a fountain of sparkling water. Hope and desperation warred in his eyes. He completely ignored the sights and sounds of the battle going on nearby. He had eyes only for the holy place itself. Maiev could not ignore the war raging all around her. Already the combined forces of the Aldor and the Scryers had begun the assault that would provide cover for Akama's attempt to infiltrate the Black Temple. Bitterness ate at her heart as the Naru, Ziri, wove spells of protection around her, Akama, and his new allies from Azeroth. The Shatar had not consented to aid her when she had gone after Illidan. Things might have turned out differently on the hand of Gul'dan if they had. Her companions might still be alive. Maiev glanced at the Azerothian adventurers. She sensed their power and their nervousness. They had been secretly aiding Akama for weeks, acting as his agents to perform missions he could not. Now they were preparing to strike at Illidan himself. The prospect of infiltrating the Black Temple excited and scared them. Maiev herself could barely wait for the Naru to finish weaving its spells. The hour of her vengeance was almost at hand. This time, the betrayer would not escape. Nearby, she sensed the terrible presence of demons. Their brimstone scent filled the air, along with the stink of burning flesh and opened entrails. Something in it stirred her to the core. This was the scent of a battle worth fighting in, a war for the fate of worlds. She shaded her eyes and watched a company of Aldor rush by the glittering form of a Naru on their way to engage a force of bat-winged demons. Spells blazed through the air. Enchanted weapons bit home. The Illidari were pushed back. Spectators jeered from the walls of the Black Temple. Overhead, huge nether drakes circled. A wing of them hurtled in, breathing clouds of devastating arcane magic. She stood on the open ground and defied them to hurt her. In her armor, she was all but invulnerable to their attacks. She felt the Naru's power complete its weave around her, setting the air to shimmer. The earth shook as another wave of meteorites smashed home, and another wave of infernals clambered from the craters they made. Dust devils arose over the site of the battle. A troop of riders charged past to enter the fray. Akama gestured to her.
Now is the time, Maiev. Unleash your wrath.
Maiev smiled as she raced forward. Behind her rushed Akama and his Azerothian allies and a strong force of Aldor and Scryers. Ahead she could see the seething mass of demons that filled the killing fields before the walls of the temple. Satyrs, Felguard, and worse things charged to meet her. Exultant, she shouted, I've waited for this moment for years. Illidan and his lapdogs will be destroyed. Ahead, winged dreadlords emerged from the murk of battle. They towered above her, filled with fell power. She aimed her Umbra Crescent at the nearest and slashed through his flesh, cleaving off part of a wing and then a leg. The demon crashed to the ground, and she leapt upon his back and drove her blade so far through his spine that the point was buried in the earth. As the demon's life ebbed away, she pulled her weapon clear and blinked herself behind another, calling on Elun to aid her as she smote the creature. The air crackled with magical energy as Akama and his other allies unleashed a torrent of spells. The dreadlords and their lesser demons fell before the savage onslaught, but more and more entered the fray. Fell magic pulsed in the air as a portal opened nearby. A huge Nathrezim emerged from it. She recognized his massive crimson form. It was Vagath, one of the worst of the jailers Illidan had set for her. She remembered all his promises of torment. Somehow he had escaped the slaughter at her prison. She would ensure that he did not get away this time. Akama bellowed,
Slay all who see us! Word must not get back to Illidan!
Maiev sprang forward, lashing out at the Nathrezim. They exchanged blows. Vagath was strong, but Maiev was stronger. She drove her blade through the heavy armor encasing the dreadlord's chest.
Meet your end, demon!
Vagath looked down in disbelief. Akama limped over to Maiev's side. Vagath fixed his gaze on the Ashtung leader and with his dying breath said,
"You've sealed your fate, Akama. The master will learn of your betrayal."
Akama shook his head.
"Akama has no master. Not anymore."
As the words left his mouth, the portal pulsed once more. A tidal wave of demons surged forth. The sight of them filled Maiev with terrible wrath. She threw herself among them, striking left and right, cleaving through them like the prow of a ship through the waves of a bloody sea. The enemy closed in all around her, seeking to drag her down into their midst. Fell steel axes glanced off her armor. Demonic claws bit into her chest plate. She unleashed the full fury of her blade, knowing she needed to close the portal through which the demons poured, or her mission would fail before it began. Behind her, she thought she heard Akama give the order to enter the Black Temple. It seemed she was going to have to close the portal alone. Vendel looked out through the murder hole deep within the walls of the Black Temple. He took a sip of the ether mead he had acquired from the Blood Elf revelers on the Grand Promenade. It tingled pleasantly on his tongue. Another massive battle had erupted outside the gates. Glancing down, he saw a force of scryers and Aldor charge into combat with the guardian demons. Huge clouds of dust rose, obscuring the conflict. He caught glimpses of the battle through them. A Blood Elf warrior fell to a satyr. An Aldor priest blasted a fell guard with the blinding power of the light. There was something oddly thrilling about watching the fight, like having an arena seat for the end of the world. He saw that the servants of the Naru appeared to be aiding a group of broken. And could that be Akama? Rumor claimed that the old broken had vanished, that he had gone over to the other side, and was even now out there plotting the Black Temple's downfall with the leaders of the Aldor and the Scryers. It appeared that rumor was correct. Small dribbles of rage erupted from the demon inside Vandel. Flickering memories of battles and kills came to him. He suppressed them easily enough. Some anger remained when he watched the attacking forces gather. The fools. Did they not realize what was going on here? They thought they had come to attack the demon ruler of Outland. They had no clue. Ah, but it was an easy enough mistake to make. Looking down at the bound demons defending the temple, Vandel could see how the invaders could think like that. Illidan had never taken any time to explain his purpose to anyone outside his immediate circle. Not that it would have mattered. Most likely no one would have believed him if he had. They would simply have thought it was part of some cunning scheme. Perhaps it was. Even now, after all Vandel had seen, all he had done, and all he had been through, he was not sure of that. Who really knew what went on in the betrayer's mind? He took another sip of the ether mead and watched the pyrotechnic blast of spells claw away at the wards on the walls. How long would it be until the demon hunters were called upon to fight? Akama led his small force toward the walls of the Temple of Kerebor. In the distance, Maiev battled to close the demonic portal. He prayed she was successful, at least for as long as it would take for him and his companions to enter the temple. All around, demons made war with servants of the light. Behind him he sensed the heartbreaking presence of the Naru. It reminded him of all he had turned his back on when he had entered the betrayer's service, all he had lost and hoped to regain. He looked at the eager faces of his allies from Azeroth, the trusting expressions of his broken bodyguards. He inspected the hollow places within himself where once fragments of his soul had been. He had not felt whole for so long. He would rather die than continue this way. Which was good, because that was exactly what would happen if things went wrong. In fact, that would be the best thing that would happen. Still, these last few moons, the Lord of Outland had been distracted, caught up in his mad, grandiose plan. If plan it was. Even now, Akama was not sure whether the betrayer was serious about opening a gateway to Argus, or whether it was all part of some great deception. Since Illidan had used the capture of Maiev to conceal the opening of the gateway to Nathrezar, Akama was not inclined to take anything he said on faith. Akama remembered all the broken and Draenei slain in the opening of that gateway, their souls consumed, and all the Draenei souls that met the same fate in Ochendun. He would allow no chance for Illidan to repeat those abominations. Fell steel bars and wards protected the sewer outflow. Those were the least of the defences. Far worse lay beyond. Akama wove the spell that would open the way and stepped through. Ahead lay the sewers of the Black Temple. The path led up through a long rocky defile and then emerged into a chamber full of elementals and Naga. Somewhere in the distance he heard the Naga champion, High Warlord Nagentus's roar. He hoped his people were ready. As his spirit hovered over the pattern, Illidan became aware of a banging on the door of the sanctum and a female voice screaming for his attention. They were audible through the ears of his body, which lay beneath him. He let his spirit drop back into his flesh and surveyed his surroundings. He spoke the words of opening, and the seal on the entrance was removed. Lady Melanda stood before him, looking at the vast shape of the pattern with something like wonder in her eyes. "Lord Illidan," she said, "an enemy force is within the gates. High Warlord Nagentus has fallen at the entrance to the sewers. The enemy is on the move." It took Illidan a few moments to register her words. Nagentus had been set along with a small army to watch over the sealed entrance to the sewers. Illidan had sent reinforcements. The Naga champion and his forces should have been able to fend off a legion. Something had gone very badly wrong. Treachery. The temple had been betrayed from within. Perhaps it was the Blood Elves or Akama's people. It looked as if time had run out. Illidan picked up the skull of Gul'dan. Its smile mocked him once more. There was only one thing left to do. He would need the power of the soul siphon. There was still a use he could put it to. Chapter 30. The Day of the Fall. Maiev stood atop a mountain of demon corpses. Her breath thundered from her chest. The thrill of victory blazed within her heart. She had closed the portal and stopped the seemingly endless tide of demons. She only wished that there were more. She would have stacked their corpses as high as the walls and entered the temple that way instead of through the sewers as Akama had planned. A huge surge of familiar energy pulsed deep within the temple. No. She knew what that meant. She had felt its like before on the slopes of the Hand of Gul'dan. Somewhere within his fortress, Illidan was opening another portal, far greater than the one that Vagath had come through. Ominous energy filled the air as the rent in the fabric of reality widened. Perhaps the betrayer was summoning some new demon from the depths of the twisting nether. Most likely he was planning on escape. She could not let that happen again. She needed to get inside the Black Temple now. She would end this thing today. She used her power to blink swiftly across the battlefield and through the passageway into the sewers. Illidan would not elude justice this time. Vendel watched as the silver-armored figure completed the slaughter of an army of demons. He recognized her from the tales he had heard of the battle at the Hand of Gul'dan. Maiev's shadow song was loose. That should not have been possible. She was bound in Warden's cage, guarded by demons, rings of terrible warding spells woven around her. Akama must have freed her. "Come to me now, my demon hunters." The voice echoed within Vandel's head. It was a summoning on a primal level. It vibrated through his tattoos and bored into his brain with a compulsion that was all but irresistible. Along with the summons came the knowledge of where he had to go, a place deep within the fortress, close to the council chamber. He pulled himself away from the viewpoint in the wall and raced toward the distant stairwell. All around him he could see the signs of activity. Troops ran to defensive positions. Horns sounded and drums rumbled in the depths. These were warning signs. Somewhere the temple defenses had been breached. He heard the sounds of combat in the distance. The demon urged him to race toward it, to take part in the killing, to reap souls. "Come to me now, my demon hunters." Once again the command rang out. This time he felt it shivering through his very bones. Was this how a demon felt when it was summoned from the twisting nether? Drawn and compelled by forces it did not understand, but struggled to resist. Why was he even resisting? The voice was Illidan's, and it contained such urgency that Vandel almost wept. Somewhere deep within the temple, potent energies stirred. Vandel recognized them. A gate was being opened, but to where, he could not tell. Did Illidan plan an escape? Or was the opening created by his enemies? Perhaps traitors within the fortress were summoning aid from elsewhere. Perhaps Illidan himself had opened the portal. The energies of this gate felt very much like those of the one that had led to Nathrezar. Had Illidan finally opened the path to Argus? There was only one way Vandel was going to find out. Somewhere in the darkness he sensed other demon hunters moving, felt the presence of their inner demons. He cursed. It seemed that his curiosity about the attack had put him the farthest away from their master. He leapt as he reached the top of the stairs. "Come to me now, my demon hunters!" The voice boomed within his skull like the tolling of a great bell. Then its echoes slowly died away, leaving him feeling alone. The sense of a summoning deep within the temple intensified. The way to somewhere else lay open, but he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it would soon close, and that any chance of him reaching the portal would be gone. He took the stairs, 10 at a time, bounding down them with the agility of a panther, tumbling headlong, rolling to his feet, taking advantage of the force of gravity to increase his velocity. Urgency burned within his brain, compelled him to rush. It was not just fear, not just the sense that the temple was on the verge of falling. It was an overwhelming feeling that if he failed to answer the summons, he would regret it forever, that somehow he would not achieve his destiny. He raced on toward the training grounds. Outside the doorway, he heard the gigantic, angry roar of Supremus, as if the Abyssal was engaged in combat with some mighty foe. Dragons flashed by overhead. Spells erupted. Demons moved toward the Sanctuary of Shadows, as if they were preparing to block the path of powerful intruders. All was confusion. Maiev emerged from the sewers into the aftermath of a terrible battle. She stood in a huge courtyard. The corpse of a nether drake lay on the ground near her, its tail still twitching as if the great reptile had not yet realized it was dead. Akama and his allies had carved their way through Illidan's defenses. Hundreds more corpses of dragonmaw orcs and demons lay strewn across the ground. Potent magic had been unleashed here. Off to her right stood gigantic siege engines. Beyond them was a stairway fit for a titan. It led into the depths of the Black Temple. Still, she sensed the pulse of that great portal being opened. She glared around her, and her eyes caught sight of something startlingly strange. A demonic figure erupted from an archway in the wall on her left. Vandel raced from the stairwell into the training courtyard. The air stank of death and unleashed magic. Dead dragons and demons lay everywhere. The corpses of fell orcs lay piled in small hills. What had once seemed an invincible force had been defeated. Only one living thing moved in the aftermath of the awesome violence. A silver-armored night elf with a curved blade. Her entire body was shrouded by powerful, magical armor. It was Maiev Shadowsong. Somehow she had managed to get into the temple as swiftly as he had gotten down from the walls. There was magic at work here. Maiev stared at him and raised her blade as if ready to attack. Vandel froze. He did not wish to fight a fellow night elf. He wanted only to get past her and answer Illidan's summons. "Demon spawn, prepare to die," Maiev said. Suddenly she was no longer where she had been. Vandel sensed a disturbance behind him and threw himself forward, rolling as a blade cleft the air where his head had been. He tumbled to his feet, facing Maiev. "I do not want to fight you," he said. Maiev cursed. It had been a long time since anyone had avoided one of her death strikes. It should not have been possible, yet this foul monstrosity had done so. A mark of how potent he was. I have studied the thing. He looked in some ways like Illidan, although less monstrous. He was tall, a whipcord-thin abomination that had once been a Kaldori. He had tattoos like his master. His skin was scaly. His eye sockets were empty except for the molten green light of fell magic. He lacked wings and hooves, but there was something undeniably demonic about him. He had once been an elf, but now he was something else, a dreadful hybrid of elf and demon, doubtless one of the army of horrors that Akama had spoken of. Maiev aimed her blade at the monster. The demonically possessed elf leapt above the weapon. As she turned to strike at him again, he jumped to one side and once more eluded her.
"Stop! There is no need for this," he said.
She heard the grating anger in his voice, though, and was not about to fall for his trickery. She advanced upon him, her blade held at the ready.
"I will have your life, monster!"
The terrible weapon swept toward Vandel once more. He sprang over it, flipped himself clean over Maiev, and landed behind her. He had a clear shot with a spell at her back. He hesitated for a moment as she turned to face him.
"I am not your enemy," he said.
Her umbra crescent licked out again. Sparks flickered as he parried it.
"We are on the same side, you and I."
Maiev paused. Her cold laughter rang through the war-ravaged courtyard.
"You serve Illidan.
I mean to kill him. Of course, we are not on the same side. I am here to fight the Burning Legion, not other night elves." The point of the Umbra Crescent began to move from side to side, hypnotically. Vandel took a step back to give himself more room.
"You have fallen for Illidan's old lie," Maiev said.
"It is not a lie. I have slaughtered demons by the hundred. I will slay more for as long as there is breath in me."
"That will not be for much longer,"
Maiev lunged, quick as a night saber. Vandel sprang clear, and her blade passed through the spot where he had just stood. He fought down the urge to riposte. His demon urged him to attack. With an effort of will, he restrained himself.
"The Burning Legion seeks to destroy all who live. We need to stand united against it," he said. "You will be united with your demon master in death."
Maiev's strike was like a thunderbolt. Vandel hurled himself backward, but it caught his cheek, slicing it open. Blood ran down over his lips. It tingled on his tongue. Vandel had had enough. He had tried reasoning with Maiev. He could try running, but he doubted he would get far with his back to her. She was too strong and too fast. He needed to face her.
"You need to kill her," said the demonic voice in the back of his mind. "It is you or her. She will not let you live."
Vandel would have liked to deny it, but he knew the demon was speaking the truth, and that lent its argument force. He summoned fell energy and sent a bolt racing toward the night elf. She parried, dissipating it effortlessly. Vandel doubted anyone save Illidan or his highest lieutenants could have managed that feat. He realized that the objective here was not going to be killing Maiev. It was going to be staying alive in the face of her fury. Maiev's eyes narrowed, so the demon's true colors were revealed now. He had attempted to strike her down with his fell magic. For a moment she'd almost believed the monster's protestations. He had sounded sincere and had made no attempt to harm her, only to defend himself. In the distance, the summoning reached a crescendo. Her prey was going to escape. It was time to end this. She launched a ferocious physical attack on the altered elf. Her blade flashed almost too fast for the eyes to follow. Her assailant raised his blades to parry. Vandel danced through a razor-edged whirlwind. It was all he could do to keep out of the way of Maiev's strikes. There was no chance of launching an attack of his own. She was simply too fast and too strong. Already his muscles ached from parrying the fury of her assault. It felt as if his arms were going to be torn from their sockets, simply from the effort of blocking her attacks. He could barely maintain the grip on his blades. He backpedaled away from her as fast as he could. He was not worried about tripping over anything. His spectral senses allowed him to perceive everything around him. They also told him that he was running out of time. The demon within him howled its protests. It did not want to escape. It wanted to fight and kill. He allowed its power to flow into him. From the pores of his skin, darkness flowed, armoring his body with shadow. His arms grew stronger, his movements grew faster. He matched Maiev blow for blow, turning her blade with one of his, lashing out with the other. Metal shrieked as his weapon clawed its way along the vambrace of her armor. He struck again and again, driving the warden back, first one step and then another, until he had regained all the ground he had lost to her initial attack. Maiev slashed at him, and he leapt above her blade, bringing his dagger down on her helmet and knocking her off balance. As she fell, he aimed a bolt of fell energy at her. It ravened into her chest. The demon urged him on. Kill her. Kill her. Maiev tumbled to the ground. The impact of the Illidari's blow had surprised her more than hurt her, but the burst of fell energy was painful even through her armor. The shadow-encased demon loomed above her, an aura of power playing around his hands. Maiev drew on the light of Elun and used her power to blink, vanishing from where she lay. Vandel watched the bolt of yellow-green energy crash down into the ground where Maiev had been but an instant before. He felt the displacement of air behind him and turned a moment too late to block her strike. Her blade scythed in from the right and cut his arm. Pain blazed through it. Blood flowed. He hurled himself back and realized then that the attack had been a feint. Her blade crunched into his skull. He rolled away even as it made contact, but agony lanced through him. Darkness encroached on his field of vision. The last thing he saw was Kharael. A disappointed look was on his little boy's face. He was never going to be avenged now. "Thus will your master fall, too," he heard Maiev say. Then the darkness took him. Akama entered the refectory. Racks made from the bones of monsters flanked the doorway. A massive altar stood upon a plinth at the rear of the room. The flickering light of eldritch energies sent shadows skittering across the floor of the desecrated space. His allies had already slaughtered most of the opposition within and now confronted the shade that Illidan had drawn from Akama's own spirit. It looked like the Broken's shadow, if his shadow had been granted form in three dimensions and evil life. It was perfect in its way, a miracle of dark magic, a testament to the evil genius of Illidan, its creator. The massive form of the stolen part of his soul loomed over the adventurers from Azeroth. Sensing Akama's presence, it moved toward him, tendrils of dark energy lashing out from it, smashing into him. His allies attacked it head-on, hammering at it with spells, charging in with their swords. He wrestled with the pain, kept himself on his feet. He gritted his teeth, even though he wanted to scream. He studied the weave of the magic attacking him. It led all the way back to the shade. The adventurers from Azeroth had done everything Akama had asked. They had opened the way into the refectory. They had slain the renegade Ashtang forces guarding the place, and then, one by one, had killed the channelers, casting the spell that held the shard of his dark soul. Now the thing was free, and it was coming for him. It intended to kill him, if it could, to take possession of his body, and through him, all of the Ashtang. He gazed at it with something like wonder. How many in their lives got to look upon everything that was evil in themselves? How many confronted all the darkness within? To anyone else it looked merely like his evil shadow. He saw that it was made up of every bit of wickedness that had ever been in him. Every mean and petty deed, from the smallest to the largest. Looking at it, he could see when he was a child coveting his brother's toys. He saw himself gloating over the untimely death of a rival for the leadership of his people. He saw the shadow that lurked behind his every outward show of piety and goodness. He saw the vanity and the egoism and the lust and the greed for glory. He saw all his demons, all that had driven him to become what he was. Illidan had freed him of that, in a way. He had taken part of his strength, too, for in that darkness had been many of the things that had driven him to master magic, forged him to become leader of his people. He had always thought of himself as humble, but looking on this monster, he saw that humility had been a mask he wore, all the better to fool those who had followed him. He wanted to tell himself that these visions were part of the Shade's attack on him, that it was attempting to undermine his will, to drive him to his knees, to force the rest of his soul from his body so that it could take residence. He knew that such was not the case. This shadow was part of him. He needed to reclaim it, for it held a great part of his strength, and only when he had reintegrated it would he have the power to do what was needed. The Shade was weakening under the onslaught of its attackers, Akama's allies from Azeroth. Akama understood the spell now and unraveled it. He drew its energies into himself. The vortex he created brought the spirit home. It fell into him. For a moment he shuddered in dark ecstasy, then he put the chains in place around his own evil, binding it to him, integrating it into his being. He felt strength return. He felt power and pride and ambition flow into him. He was once more truly Akama. It was done. He took a deep breath and allowed the strength to surge back into his body. A crowd of Ashtung entered the refectory and gazed up at him. "Hail, Akama!" they shouted. The steady pulse of the portal-opening spell vanished. Maiev sprang over her fallen foe. She had no more time to waste. Even now, she might be too late. She needed to find Illidan before he fled forever. She rushed past the smoldering stone form of some gigantic dead infernal. She raced into the enormous structure. Dead satyrs and other demons sprawled all around a massive hall. Ashtung moved in groups. They stared at her. There was no menace in their gazes, but no warmth either. They clearly knew who she was. She wondered whether they would dare attack her. There was only one way to find out. She marched over to the nearest of them. "Where is Akama?" she demanded in her most commanding tone. The Ashtung looked at her. There was something different in his manner. In the past, the Broken had usually been obsequious. Even the ones guarding her would never meet her gaze. This one did, as did all his companions. They did not look at her as if they were afraid. They looked at her as if they were her equals. "He is deeper within the temple. He seeks to put an end to the betrayer." "Good," she said. "I shall go and help him." Chapter 31 The Fall. Wearily, Illidan emerged into his council chamber. The demon hunters were away. He had done all he could. He wished he could have gone with them, but he had needed to remain behind as one mystical pole of the portal to hold the way open. Now it was only a matter of waiting. Holding open that portal had taken almost all his strength and all the power within the soul siphon. Lady Melanda looked at him. "The Ashtung have betrayed us. Our servants have turned against us. The gates are open." "They must have planned this all along," said Gathios the Shatterer. Illidan reached out with his sorcerer's senses. The binding spell he had maintained on Akama's shade was gone. Akama had freed himself, and in doing so, had freed his people. The old Broken had been more cunning than he thought. One more miscalculation. Illidan had been too busy with the portal to Argus and his demon hunters to pay attention to Akama. Still, he would find a way to make the leader of the Broken pay. "I sensed a portal opening," said High Nethermancer Zerevor. "I thought you had escaped, O Lord." His expression held a complex mix of emotions, gladness that his overlord was still there, puzzlement as to why. If he wanted an explanation, he was doomed to disappointment. Illidan sensed events closing in all around him. Things were unwinding. He was trapped by fate, his plans half complete. He thought of the vision the Naru had shown him. He doubted now that the creature was of the light. Perhaps it had been part of the trap Kil'jaeden set for him. It had lulled him into a false sense of security at a critical time. Everything he had worked for so long to achieve had come undone. Perhaps his demon hunters would fail. Perhaps he had only sent them to their doom. He resigned himself to the fact that he would never know. All he could do now was stand his ground. He would not give his enemies the satisfaction of his surrender. He would never be imprisoned again. He regarded his counselors. They still looked to him for leadership. "Defend this place," he said. "Guard the way into the summit of the temple. There is a spell I will cast. It may turn the battle our way. We will yet overthrow our enemies. We are not defeated yet." Akama stepped over the corpse of High Nethermancer Zerevor. Ahead of him loomed the sealed gateway to the summit of the temple. It had been a swift, hard-fought battle to get to this point. They had left a trail of broken bodies and shattered sentinels through the perfumed gardens and palatial apartments the Blood Elves occupied. Now ahead of him lay the great black door beyond which Illidan worked his evil magic. What new fiendish spell was he casting? The adventurers from Azeroth waited to see what he would do. Akama said, "This door is all that stands between us and the betrayer. Stand aside, friends." He studied the spell sealing the way to the summit. It was a thing of fantastic intricacy, composed of a multiple interlocking weaves of force. It would take a sorcerer a lifetime to unravel it. Fortunately, he did not need to do so. He merely needed to shatter it. He drew upon all his strength and launched it at the doorway. Somehow, that fragile-looking structure resisted. He increased the amount of power, his spell rending and clawing at the seal with all the energies he commanded. It was still not enough. His shoulders slumped. He had come so far, risked so much. "I cannot do this alone," frustration forced the words from Akama's lips. He sensed the presence of others of his people. Powerful spirits, familiar and mighty ghosts, unleashed to stalk through the temple of Kerebor by the events of the day. "You are not alone, Akama," said one of the spirits. It wore the form of his one-time companion, the seer, Udalo. "Your people will always be with you." The other spirit had taken the shape of Seer Olam. Akama was struck with awe. "I had not thought to see you so soon, old friend." The seer had been one of Akama's closest allies until Vash's Naga discovered that Olam was plotting to depose the betrayer. Olam had asked Akama to slay him in order to keep up the appearance that the Ashtung were loyal to Illidan. Akama had sadly complied. The spirits added their strength to his own. Slowly at first, the binding spell began to come apart, shredded by the torrent of power thrown at it, power backed by the will of an entire people freed from chains. The spell collapsed. The ghosts began to fade. Akama said, "I thank you for your aid, brothers. Our people will be redeemed." Had Akama the time to reflect, he would have wept with joy. Olam's sacrifice had allowed him to get to this door, and his spirit had returned to help him open it. It was a good omen, but triumph warred with dread within Akama's soul. Soon he and his allies would have to face the betrayer. Even after all this time, all his scheming and all his planning, Akama was not certain that he was prepared for that. Illidan felt the seal give way on the gateway to the Black Temple's summit. Akama had grown powerful indeed to tear it down so quickly. He had learned a great deal during his time within Illidan's service, including how to work counterspells against his master's magic. Illidan remained crouched down, wings wrapped around his body, taking these last few moments to draw what power he could to himself before the final conflict of his life was upon him. Filled with trepidation, Akama entered the summit. Even now, victory was far from certain. The betrayer might find some way of turning things around, even as Akama's people threw the gates of the temple open to welcome the Aldor and the scryers and their allies. Illidan crouched down on the far side of the summit. In the center was a great grill, shielding a central well that went all the way down into the heart of the Temple of Kerebor. The betrayer held a skull in his hands, as if contemplating a reminder of his own mortality. He was utterly still, immobile as one dead. Surely he could not have taken his own life. Akama studied the aura swirling around his former master. No, he yet lived. Titanic swells of energy rose within him. He was merely gathering his strength. All around, Akama's allies checked their weapons nervously. Illidan seemed to be waiting for all his enemies to enter. It was as if he wanted them all in one place and had no fear of their superior numbers. Given the powers on which he could call, Akama thought his lack of concern might be justified. Where are his mutated soldiers? Akama wondered. All through the battle in the temple, Akama had looked for the demon hunters to appear, but there was no sign of their presence, nor was there any sign of the great portal Akama had sensed being opened. He had expected Illidan to flee through it. In truth, he would have half welcomed it, because it would have averted this final, likely fatal confrontation. It spoke volumes of the betrayer's confidence that he gave the intruders time to prepare themselves. Akama pushed the thoughts aside and began to draw on his own powers. Illidan studied the forces arrayed against him. It felt strange to see so many enemies within the heart of the Black Temple. It was even stranger in its way to see Akama standing beside them. He still could not believe the old Broken had the nerve to do such a thing. He had eluded all the traps and escaped all the shackles Illidan had prepared for him. And now he was here, surrounded by these outsiders he had brought to fight for him. Anger filled Illidan's heart. He stared hard at Akama, letting his contempt show on his face. Akama, your duplicity is hardly surprising. I should have slaughtered you and your malformed brethren long ago. Akama recoiled from the venom in Illidan's voice. He took a moment to gather himself and said, "We have come to end your reign, Illidan. My people and all of Outland shall be free." Boldly said, but I remain unconvinced.
"The time has come. The moment is at hand."
Illidan glared at the Broken and his pathetic allies. "You are not prepared." A massive warrior emerged from the pack, garbed in heavy plate, protective spells woven around him. Illidan saw the network of defensive magic that connected him to the Azerothian casters. Illidan leapt forward and struck a powerful blow with his war glaive. The warrior raised a shield to block it. Illidan took advantage of the opening to slash at his neck with the left-hand blade. Blood spurted from the warrior's throat, but healing magic surged in, drawing the blood back and knitting torn flesh and severed veins. Illidan summoned a parasitic shadow fiend to him. The creature slithered out of the twisting nether and into reality, racing toward the spellcaster who had done the healing. Unless the shadow fiend was stopped, it would soon spawn more. A hail of spells smashed into Illidan's defenses, but did not overcome them. For mortals, these casters were potent, but he would show them they were no match for the Lord of Outland. Illidan spread his arms wide and summoned fire. A great swath of it blazed all around him, scorching his attackers. One of them screamed and fell, his skin blackened, his eyeballs popping from the heat. Illidan laughed. The sorcerers among his host of enemies frantically redirected their spells to protect themselves. Illidan sensed a presence behind him, a shadow figure bearing two blades. The poison coating the swords made his nostrils twitch. He turned, just as his assailant was about to drive the weapons into his back. With one hand, he caught him by the throat. With a word of power, he ignited his foe's flesh with persistent fire and cast him aside to burn down to blackened bones. An arrow flashed toward Illidan's head. He turned so it glanced off his horn. A gigantic hunting beast bounded right at him. He summoned a wall of shadows that began to drain away the life of the beast and all the attackers close by. Their energy flooded into him, fueling his spells. He blocked another thrust, chopped down his attacker. Wild joy flowed through his veins. He exulted in every death he caused, feeding on it. Every fallen foe filled him with glee and an urge to scream his triumph to the skies. They had come to slay him, had they? Well, they would find out he did not die so easily. In battle, the betrayer was awesome. Akama had to admit it. The Broken allies were among the greatest fighters of Azeroth, and he was aiding them as best he could. But one by one, they were going down. Attacking Illidan now was like attacking a wounded, rabid wolf. It was clear that he intended to drag as many down into death with him as he could. Worse, his unrelenting savagery might yet lead to his victory. If he triumphed here, he might leave this place and rally the defenders of the Black Temple. Then things would look black indeed for Akama's people. "Where is Maiev?" Akama wondered. Her presence at this juncture could